San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 2nd, 2024. Today's lesson is If I Had a Hammer with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core.
Yes, if I had a hammer. Trini Lopez saying If I Had a Hammer. Now, you know, there are several different people who have sung it. And Peter, Paul, and Mary made it famous, but nobody rocked If I Had a Hammer like Trini Lopez. And that's from the 60s. So you want to know what kind of music we listened to in the 60s? Fun stuff. Even the We're Gonna Change the World songs could be fun. You know, I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer about the love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which you and I and all of us have our being. And so it is.
So it is.
I like this this talk title, If I Had a Hammer. I like hearing Trini Lopez sing so alive. You know, it's him, his drummer and him. And they're just having a great time. So why would I be so excited about this morning? Well, you know, for 2024, our theme is building conscious community. And the key word there is conscious. We're building conscious community. And this month we are using the tools and tools. I brought tools. But when we are building this conscious community, one of the things we want to remember is that we have all of these tools available to us. But the question is, how can we accomplish our deepest desires, our goals, our dreams, and help make the world a better place at the same time? Is that a fair question? Yeah, I thought it was a fair question. Well, we can do that by starting where we are, using what we have, and doing what we can. So this morning, we are right here. So we are starting right here where we are. And when we use what we have, that's another way of saying we're using the tools that are available to us. Now, if we're going to be pounding on the wall, then yes, we have hammers. Or if you are still in college and they have chunky heels back then, you pick up your shoe and you use the heel of your shoe to hammer picture hangers into the wall. And that is normal. Everybody was doing that until your parents came to visit and saw you doing it and said, "No, wait. Let me go out in the car and bring in my toolbox." How can we relate that to us as a community? We see people doing what they can with what they have, and they don't have the right tool for the job. And we want to run up to them and say, "No, wait, let me open my toolbox and help you. Show you what other tools are available so you don't ruin your shoes or you don't bend the tip of your butter knife while you're screwing in a screw." I've done all these things, right? In fact, I had to have one of my hoses was bad when I was in a parking garage, and my dear friend knew everything that I didn't know about tools and car repairs and stuff. but we were headed for a picnic. So he was able to use a teaspoon and a steak knife to fix my car. Because he just, you know, was a split in the hose way near the end where the attachment thing is. So he used the end of the spoon, the handle of the spoon, to unscrew the screw in the holder, take it out, use the steak knife to cut off the edge, put it back on, then used the spoon again to re-screw it together. It would have been easier if he'd had a screwdriver and a real knife, but, or a hose cutter, they probably have some custom tool for that. But it worked. We start where we are, we use what we have, and we do what we can. This same friend came over, I was seeing him for many years, and he came over and looked in my garage, and he would help me on things in my house, in my yard, and he said, you know, you have a lot of tools. I said, well, yeah, I do. And he goes, I don't mean for a woman. I mean, you have a lot of tools. You have more tools than I have. I envy you your tools. And I said, well, do you need to borrow them? And he said, no. Because all my tools that I had were tools that I needed them to do some project, like my framing hammer. My framing hammer is bigger than this. This is my all-purpose hammer that I use. It's lightweight and it's got a good claw on it. It's basically called a claw hammer. And it has an unbreakable handle in normal use. That's a key thing to remember about all your tools. I probably voided the warranty, if I had one, on my butter knives when I was screwing screws into things. My way of replacing the outlet covers in the house was the butter knife. I always knew where it was. I had a whole selection of them. They fit the end of the little screws. It worked. This one is a ball peen hammer. This is my go-to hammer around the house because where I have my claw hammer for real hammering, I have my ball peen hammer to replace the end of the heel of my shoe. This is for picture hanging, little things like that. It's lightweight. I always know where it is. My framing hammer is bigger than the claw hammer. And it has a bigger head, not quite that much of a curve on the claws. And the bigger head has hatch marks on it. Why? Why would it have hatch marks? It's a framing hammer. I'm hammering 8 to 10 penny nails, I think they are, into a 2x4. And so you put them in and you hit. And the weight and the balance of that hammer allows me to get those large nails into the 2x4 in 3 to 4 hits, which is good for a girl. It's really good for a girl. I also have a sledgehammer. I'm not going to use a sledgehammer to hang little hooks on the walls. I use my sledgehammer to take walls out, which I have done. I also have learned that you need to make sure that your fingers are out of the way of other 2x4s in the wall when you swing your sledgehammer, because you can smoosh the end of your finger without ever having it touch the hammer. Think about that. Tools have side effects. So my friend told me that every time I went to Home Depot, I should get a new tool just because. And that someday it would come in handy. And so I did that. So I have at least half a dozen different hammers and mallets and things like that. But I also have all kinds of wonderful specialty tools. I don't have just pliers. I have those pliers that lock, a set of the ones that lock. So you lock it down on something and then you can turn. I have those little turny things. Now, you can tell I'm not a carpenter and I'm not a mechanic because I don't have the right words for these tools, but I know how to use them. I have an extender that goes on to this long thing that I turn, and it helps me to screw in bolts and nuts. And you use it both on the car and on your deck when you're building a deck. So tools have multiple purposes. Now, technically, what I was going to tell you is that a tool is any item that can be used to achieve a goal or to help reach a particular outcome. I think I've made that clear already. It can be a physical item like a hammer or something else, or a tool can be an intellectual concept that's used to describe a procedure or a process with a specific purpose, such as affirmative prayer or meditation. Or when you're on a testing team, it can be a checklist of the tests that need to be done on a system or a piece of equipment. That's a tool too. It's something that we are using to achieve a goal or to help reach a particular outcome. And then we have tools that have wonderful names because they're unique to an activity. We have a musical instrument. We have an eating utensil. You know that butter knife I screws with? We have a washing machine or an apparatus of some sort to get a job done. A set of tools to achieve a specific goal can be referred to as equipment. Are you well equipped for whatever task you are undertaking? It's a good question. It's a fair question. I don't have an answer. Depends on the task. Depends on the person. Depends on my frame of mind when I'm recognizing the tool that I need and choosing whether or not to use it. But this morning I'm going to equip you with some tools that I believe you will find valuable in your spiritual practice for your well-being. But when we hear the words using the tools, what comes to mind? What are we referring to and what are we supposed to use these tools for? Well, this month, we're going to be looking at that a lot. We're going to be looking at the tools and the resources that are available to all of us, to every single one of us. They are available to each one of you. They are available to me. They are available to everyone in the world. If we don't know about the tools, the spiritual tools, the spiritual principles, that doesn't mean we aren't using them, but it means we aren't using them consciously. We aren't thinking about what we're thinking about. We aren't paying attention to how are my thoughts going to affect what's going on in my life. Now, we have our new calendars out, and this one includes our guest speaker on Father's Day, which is going to be Noble Benning here, going to be speaking about our father's children. And truly, he is uniquely qualified to do that, because not only does he have children and grandchildren, but he helped to raise all of them, and he also taught children tennis. And so he's familiar with being in an environment with children, and how powerful and how loving and how joyful that can be. So we are going to be looking at affirmative prayer, meditation, visioning, journaling, reading the Holy Scriptures and other sacred texts, because there's the Bible and then there's the Vedas and there's all kinds of stuff. And we're going to be looking at spiritual practices. We're going to look at the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz and the 10 Principles of John Randolph Price's 40-Day Abundance Plan. Whew! It's a lot of stuff. I may even talk about the 5 Gifts for an Abundant Life that Diane Harmony put out her book on. But we'll look at the tools that are available. We're going to look at which ones are already in our toolbox that either we're using regularly or that are gathering dust and need a little bit of polishing up. One thing to remember is you're a tool. Now, not in that sick, negative humor kind of thing, what a tool. No, you are a tool of the divine. You are an instrument of the divine. Spirit is constantly using you, using me, using everyone to experience this life on earth. All of the tools are available to us. And the more that we use, the greater experience we have in this lifetime. If you want a little preview of what tools are available to us, on the back of our programs is our Declaration of Principles. So you can read those and think about, what do those mean? Those are the things that we believe. They are the heart and the soul of our Science of Mind teaching and philosophy. Now, this morning's talk, if I had a hammer. Most of us, except those quite a bit younger than the rest of us, are familiar with that song. And we grew up listening to that song on this amazing handheld communication receiver called a transistor radio. It was such a wonderful little tool. But for today, I don't have a transistor radio anymore. It had its own limitations. Today, I used a few tools called the internet, YouTube, email, iPhone, and Wi-Fi to be able to play a digital recording of Trini Lopez and his drummer singing that song just for you. So tools are pretty amazing things. So I want you all to pretend like you have a hammer in your hand right now. I would pass out hammers, but I don't have enough, and they can be dangerous if you're not careful in how you're using them. So now that you have this hammer, what would you do? Would you hammer in the morning? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Yes. Would you hammer in the evening? Yes. All over this land? Yes. Would you hammer out danger? Yes. Would you hammer out a warning? Yes. Would you hammer out the love between your brothers and your sisters? Absolutely yes. Yes. All over this land, we would do that. Now, if we had a bell, we would do the same thing. Ring it in the morning, ring it in the evening, all over this land. It's the hammer of justice and the bell of freedom. There's a guy named Charles Kingsley. Boy, that was a leap, wasn't it? No. He was an Anglican minister and an author, and he said, "Have thy tools ready. God will find thee work. Have thy tools ready. God will find thee work." And that's kind of the point of today's lesson. All these tools are available to us. And when we have them ready, we can use them at the drop of a hat. We can use them in every moment. We can use them to make this world a better place, to awaken the world to its spiritual magnificence, to awaken us to our own spiritual magnificence. Because when we are awake, that same light spreads, radiates, shines, helping to wake others up. One of the greatest tools known to mankind is his own mind. Ernest Holmes has said, "There is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, and you can use it." That's not idle talk. That is the deepest truth that exists. There is a power greater than you are. It's a power for good. It's in this universe. It is this universe. And every one of us can use it consciously. Every one of us are already using it. So you and I are surrounded by a creative intelligence, the living spirit almighty, which makes all things possible. Ernest Holmes was the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. He also said, "The consciousness of truth alone is the tool of a spiritual practitioner." In the Science of Mind textbook, on pages 168 and 169, he says, and he's talking about a practitioner's business. Everyone who consciously uses the techniques of the Science of Mind can be called a practitioner of the Science of Mind, a practitioner of religious science. We do also license certain people to be professional practitioners, but all of us are practitioners. Ernest writes, "It is the practitioner's business to uncover God in every man. God is not sick. God is not poor. God is not unhappy. God is never afraid. God is never confused. God is never out of his place. The premise upon which all mental work is based is perfect God, perfect man, perfect being. First, perfect God, then perfect man. There's a spiritual man who is never sick, who is never poor, unhappy, never confused nor afraid, who is never caught by negative thought. Browning called this, quote, the spark which a man may desecrate but never quite lose, end quote. Ernest wrote, these are the tools of thought with which a practitioner works. Where does he do his work? In his own mind. And that's in all caps, in his own mind. Never anywhere else. Always in his own thought. A practitioner never tries to get away from the mind within. Never tries to get away from the mind within. So indeed, we are surrounded by this creative mind, which receives the direct impress of our thought and acts upon it. We're governed by universal laws and principles that, when used wisely, can transcend any negative condition or situation. How can that be? How is that possible? It's the law. Now, if you're in alignment with me so far, please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. There is a power for good in the universe.
There is a power for good in the universe.
That is greater than I am.
That is greater than I am.
And I am using it.
And I am using it.
I am open and receptive.
I am open and receptive.
To this indwelling presence.
To this indwelling presence.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So just breathe. Breathe. You have just affirmed this power, and that you are willing and open and receptive to using it and accepting the gifts that you receive through it, as it. All these tools that we are using the tools, the hammer, the sledgehammer, the affirmation, that's a tool. All of these tools we should be using creatively. Why? Because it's a creative universe. Everything that we are thinking about, we are creating in our life. We are the co-creator with the divine using the law. Sounds pretty powerful, doesn't it? Well, hey, there's that power greater than you are. It's a power for good, and you're using it creatively. We have a formula that's another kind of tool. It's creativity plus receptivity equals demonstration. Creativity plus receptivity equals demonstration. And there exists a mathematical certainty of the divine creative process in action, in that little formula. Whatever you put in, you get out. Whatever you think about comes about, from the invisible to the visible. From thought to form. It's the law of cause and effect and the law of action and reaction. In science of mind, we use the teaching symbol as a tool to explain the divine creative process. This is our teaching symbol. It's the circle with a V and the two lines through it. In religious science, it's referred to as spirit descending into form. It symbolizes the manifestation of all that is. All that is. It is the Trinity the triune nature of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As above, so below. As within, so without. We can look at this as spirit, soul, and body. We can look at it as seed, soil, and plant. We can look at it as the creator, the creative process, and the creation. All of these concepts are tools to help you claim your divine inheritance and create the life that you deserve. Over here on our community table, we have information sheets about our teaching symbol that they're available. Go ahead and grab one. I taped one up on the wall there for you to see what it looks like. So now, with all of that said, I feel like I need to take a breather. Now we can ask ourselves, am I using all the tools that are available to me? You don't need to raise your hands on this one. Nope. Are we using the spiritual practices that we know on a daily basis? Are we using meditation, affirmative prayer, visioning, journaling? Do you call a minister or a practitioner when you need spiritual support? Do you ask for a spiritual mind treatment when you have a challenge in your life? San Diego Center for Spiritual Living is here to support you with tools when you need them and tools that support your spiritual well-being. Are we using the tools that we have? The reason I am not going to ask for a show of hands is because I would have to put mine up too. Throughout all of this, there's one element that is absolutely consistent, and that is our consciousness. Our consciousness. Reverend Nina Russell wrote about the window pane. Much sunlight can come through a clean and clear window pane, giving light and life to a seemingly dark and dead room. The window pane, being fragile, can be easily broken, so we are gentle with it. Liking it to be transparent so more sunshine can come into the room, we make sure it does not get clouded with dirt, dust, or mud. We clean it regularly. Our consciousness is like a window pane. We need to be gentle with it and keep it clean so we can bless our life and the lives of those around us. As we clear up all our outdated beliefs, negative opinions of others, and release any unforgiveness, the light, the wondrous light of God, can and does shine through our pain, our consciousness. The more light that comes through, the more our life is blessed, and our life becomes a more cheerful place, a happier place for all. As with the window pane, we cannot create the light, but we can become a transparency for the light and love of God to enter into the world. The light helps to light others as a candle lights other candles. our light becomes a blessing to the world, doing good we never dreamed of. Sometimes the tool is Windex. All of these spiritual tools help us to keep the window pane of our consciousness clear. Every time you clean a window, I want you to remember that cleaning the window of our mind is equally important. How are we using these tools? Are we using these tools? I'm going to close with a few comments. We have seen the hammer of justice this morning. We have heard the bell of freedom. And now we are going to hear a song about the love between my brothers and my sisters. Love is the key we must turn. Truth is the flame we must burn. Freedom, the lesson we must learn. These are the tools I offer you today. So thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.